Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves before you as we come once again to time of sharing this precious word, this wisdom of God that is wrapped up that a man cannot reveal. So Father, I ask under the covering of my spiritual fathers, I ask for mercy that Lord, you will help me so that you will grant me fresh unction from your throne and mercy so that Lord, I will speak as an oracle of God, and your word will come out of my lips like a word of life that will minister life to your people, strength to our feet, Lord, strength to our ankle bones, causing our wills to be more submitted to your will, our minds, Lord, more illuminated with the light of revelation and understanding, our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, so that we will all be doers of the things that we hear and not hearers only, bringing forth fruit that will be well pleasing in your sight, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because as I pray, Lord, under the covering of our fathers, I pray that, Lord, wherever this word goes, Lord, under their covering, you will back it with your power, so that, Lord God, you will remove every shroud of covering over the eyes of your people, in the name of Jesus. Father, it will break yokes that are holding men bound, in the name of Jesus. Father, it will set men free and put them on the path of godliness, on the highway of holiness. So that, Father, we will press in beyond the veil and lay hold upon all that you've made available through the death and the resurrection of your Son, in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask for mercy. Help me to be concise and precise, not saying unnecessary things, bringing forth out of the treasure of this word things new and old, redeeming the time, pleasing you as you try my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Afternoon, mommy dropped a word. She was praying for us last week, and she dropped a word and said that God is looking for sons. That is only sons that can inherit, that children cannot inherit. You know, and I just kept that word in my heart. And sons, what, you know, sons that inherit, you know, and God, you know, around that built this word. So I give honor to my fathers, just a little word, a little prayer, but the Holy Spirit can blow it up. Amen. So I'm not saying anything new. It's an echo of what Pastor and Mommy have shared with us over the years, but I believe that this will bless you as it comes out with a fresh light from the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Right. Teaching priests and the true God. Teaching priests and the true God. And let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 3. You have to catch up with me. I'm not going to wait for you. Now, for a long season, Israel had been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. For a long time, Israel had been like this. And this, at this point in time that the Bible is talking about, this is 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 3. In chapter 14, you would see that King Asa was the king of Judah at that time, and Benjamin. He had taken away altars of strange gods. He had commanded Judah to seek God and obey his laws. He had built cities with towers and gates and bars. He had won battles against foreign enemies. But God was saying that there was still yet something that Israel was not fulfilling. God is not going to be satisfied with us being in the outer court. No matter how much blessing you have, he's not going to be content with you being in the holy place. God wants all of his people to come on a journey and come from the outer court through the holy place, through with the altar of incense, and press in and come beyond the veil and not go back. I'm using the typology of the tabernacle of Moses. So we are on a journey, and the journey is going to end in the holiest of all, when we behold him face to face. And that was a beautiful song, you know, that the choir sang. You know, I want to see life through your eyes. That means that you are with him in the holiest of all. You've come from where you were, so you leave your place, we leave our place, and we come to his place.
All right. So God was saying, what was God saying with this statement that they're being without the true God? It means that you can be in the body of Christ and not know the true God. It's amazing, brethren. You can be in the body of Christ and think you're serving God and you're not really serving God. Because somebody has to reveal God to you. Jesus said that no man cometh unto the Father but by me, and I'll reveal him to whomsoever I will. God has to be revealed, the real true God, the holy God, the merciful God, the gracious God, has to be revealed. You can't, you need somebody to, the Bible talks about the fellowship. You know, the apostle talks about the fellowship of his son. See, the son has to reveal the father to you. And, the reveals to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit reveals it to fathers, fathers reveal them to us. And that's how you know God. So when there is no teaching priest, what does this mean? It means that God's law is not being taught. So God's people are not growing spiritually. So they don't know God's thoughts. Neither do they know God's ways the way they ought to. And so they cannot receive the blessing of their inheritance. There is the blessing and there are blessings. The Bible says, Abraham gave gifts unto his sons, but unto Isaac he gave the inheritance. So God doesn't want you to have blessing. Praise God. He wants the best for you, which is the inheritance. Amen. That's the purpose of God. And for that, God has to raise up teaching priests. Because it is teaching priests that will teach you. That's what he was saying, that they have been without the true God. And, you know, and let's look at John chapter 17, verse 3 and 4. And this, let's read together, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. A day is going to come where we're going to be able to say that in Jesus' name, that we have glorified God on the earth, and we have finish the work that he has given us to do. The purpose of God for his people is to know him, to glorify him by walking in divine love, by his truth, and inherit the spirit without measure. John 14 verse 6. If you can catch up with me. John 14 6. Jesus saith unto him, let's read together. Jesus saith unto him, I am the truth and the no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Jesus is the way. You need someone to show you the way. You know, to be able to walk in the truth that you have and have life abundant or life without measure. So this is what God was saying. And of course, we know that the covenant in Hebrews 8:10, we're not looking, turning there, but that he will write the law. He would inscribe his law upon their hearts and upon their minds so that they will know him from the least unto the greatest. This covenant is a covenant of knowing. It's not a covenant of blessing. The blessing follows the knowing. The real blessing. Now, there are blessings along the way to encourage you that you're on the right path. Amen? But there are by no means any reason for you to stop by the way and camp. And said that, oh, this is how far we are going. That's not the will of God. Amen. Look at Ezra chapter 7 verse 10. So God raised up priests like Ezra. Ezra 7 verse 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of his God and to do it. And to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. God raised up Ezra. He is raising up men. Correction, he has raised up men. They are raised up. They are already set. And you can't upset them. Amen? They are already set by God. They are already there in their position. Because we are imminent. Thank God, and it's not just raising them up. But he's talking about things that he has already done. So God raised up a priest like Ezra who was prepared. The Bible says he prepared himself to seek, do, and teach. Let's say together, seek, do, and teach. Say, I seek, I do, and I teach the law of life and law of love. That's how you're going to, that's what God does. He raises up teaching priests whose aim and focus and purpose, singular purpose, is to seek and to do and then to be able to teach. Because you have no right teaching if you haven't done what you're talking about. Don't tell people some story about what it's supposed to be. You're telling them how it is. And the key of teaching priests is this. They don't tell you the what, which is knowledge. They don't tell you the what alone. They don't tell you the why alone. They tell you the how. That's how you know the teaching priests. They give you how. So they've been there and they're coming back to pick you so that you can go together. Amen. That's the way it works. Amen. All right. So now what do teaching priests, the impact of teaching priests, you can see in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Let's go down to verse 8. Verse 8, very quickly. Right. And when Asa heard these words, he took courage and what did he do? He put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin. Out of all the land and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. So the idols were there all the time. And they were being blessed. They were having victories over enemies. They were building. Things were going well, so to speak. Don't let Satan deceive us with blessings. Your blessing is coming upon you because of the mercy and the goodness of God. It is not because so much because of what you are doing. If you want to know whether you are doing what is pleasing God, the key now is to check what's going on the inside. Because the kingdom is not coming from outside by observation. It's coming within. You have to be able to look inside and see the change in your character, the change in your emotions, the change in your mindset, your perspective change, your desires change, your appetites change. Then you can tell that, yes, I'm on the right path. You can't look and say, oh, I have a V-boot. Oh, I have that. They don't drive V-boot again. You know, it's how far? See how far out? I mean, what they drive? Hummer Jeep, you know, and Porsche and all the sports cars in the world. No, and the houses and where you have the houses, these are nothing. God is building men. He is not building institutions. He's not building cities. He's not building cathedral. Cathedral is good. But if you build cathedral at the expense of men, you have missed God. You need to build men. It is building men. That's what teaching priests are. So the first thing was he removed the idols and built the altar. Because you can't build the altar where there are idols. It's an altar most holy. How can you build it where there are idols? So you remove the idols. You remove the idols and then you build the altar. Okay? And then build it before the porch of the Lord. Okay? Next verse. Jump to verse 12. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And they entered into a covenant to do what? Seek the Lord their God of their fathers with some of their heart, most of their heart. What did they do? All of their heart and with all of their soul. Next verse. That whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death. Whether small or great, whether man or woman, will not die in Jesus' name. What he's saying is that it's all or none at the heart level. It was all. And they swear, go on. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with cornets. Next verse. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath. So they made an oath. Lord, I commit. They made an oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire. This total, brethren. Nothing partial about this. It's not 5 over 6. Not 9 over 10. It's 10-10. It's 10-10 at the heart level. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest roundabout. This is the purpose of God. So that's one. So they remove they build the altar. They bring God's people to covenant with him. They build God's temple according to specifications. Okay? We don't have time to turn there, but the Bible says, I will fill this house with glory. Because the house God is going to fill with glory has to be built according to certain specifications. And he's teaching priests. The same way Moses had to build the tabernacle for glory to come. The same way Solomon had to build the temple for glory to come. The same way teaching priests are building the body of Christ as a habitation of God by the Spirit. Same way. And then, 2 Chronicles 15, 16. Jump to verse 16. 15, 16. 2 Chronicles 15, 16. You need to be quick. And also, concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa cut down her idol, stamped it, and burnt it in the brook Kidron. He removed bad leadership. Teaching priests remove bad leadership. So the leadership, what is flowing from the head is pure to God's people. Now, so if you look in contemporary church history, you would see that after the healing revival in the 50s, you know, the early 50s, 52, 53, you know, God raised up Kenneth Hagin, you know, whose ministry was just teaching and preaching the word. Relative to what had happened in the healing revivals, you know, he didn't have the preponderance of miracles that the healing revivalists had. But I mean, he had miracles, but the emphasis was on the word. He was a teaching priest, and there is practically nobody that has come from that since 1950s that has not been, for in some way, a son has received truth or nuggets from Kenneth Hagin, because God just chose him and tried to use him to dispense truth to the entire world. Amen. I know because the first of the first fruits coming from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia here, you know, thank God that God shipped a lot of that truth to the church here. Amen. And the church has grown over the years. And now God has raised up teaching priests. Our fathers are examples of teaching priests. Amen. So when you're talking about teaching priests, people that they have sought, they have done, and they are teaching and they have taught over decades. So that now, they're not just teaching you now, they have storehouse. They have the key to the storehouse. They are Josephs. Because they have the key to the storehouse of God's truth over decades built up. And that truth is supposed to develop the body of Christ, to raise up sons who will inherit, which is the Father's desire. Now, why is this important? This purpose, I said earlier, must be completed by sons, not children, within a specific time frame. Therefore, God's people must grow up. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 15. The scripture we all know. Let's read it together. And he gave some apostles. We heard this morning, Pastor Day was preaching, you know, and showing us that it's not all. You have to have a call. And some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Next verse. This is the reason why. This is a central reason why. It is not so that we can be looking up to them. We look up to them. But it's not so that they can be the man of God. No, that's not the reason why. This is the reason why. The reason why is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. They are raising up a body. They are cleansing out filthiness from the saints. They are equipping the saints for the work that is ahead. This is the work that they have been called to do. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Next verse. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Next verse. But speaking the truth. See, the truth is key. The truth is key. Speaking the truth in love may grow up into him where? In all things. Which is the head, even Christ. It stands from this scripture that if you're not under a teaching priest, you're going to be tossed to and fro. Because side by side, there are two churches in one church. Amen? There are two churches in one church. So there is the apostate church and there is the true church. So it's now a question of the fact that who are you under? Because the person you are under is going to determine what really happens to you. And when you are being taught, you're growing up you also grow in wisdom, you grow in stature, you grow in favor with God and favor with men. So you now know your left from your right. And you know, no, this is not correct. This is not right. Why? Because somebody else has laid down their lives to teach you. First of all, to seek, to do, and then come back to teach you the pure truth, the whole counsel of God that is not adulterated. So because you can stand, because somebody else has paid the price. And the same thing now behoves you. You now have to take those truths. We have to take those truths and feed on it. We have to seek it. We have to do it. We have to teach it to our children. We have to. It doesn't stop. It's a continuous change. So you have a kingdom of priests. Bible says a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation who has called out of darkness to show forth the glory of his manifest light. This is what God is doing. Amen. So that's you know, teaching priests are key because you know they when they teach and the church is growing, they allow these offices to begin to develop. These offices develop over time. Apostle, prophet, pastor. They don't come all of a sudden on the scene. It's from the body. You understand? It's a body thing. Yes, they are individuals, but they are in the body. So as the body is growing, they also are growing. Do you understand what I mean? That's why it takes time. It takes time. But you know, without the teaching priest, you won't have these offices, particularly the office of the apostle and the prophet, which we'll be seeing are really critical as we go on. Number two, the devil fights God by delaying his purpose of building sons. Devil is very strategic. You can't stop people from going to church. There's something you can't tell people that is not true anymore. Life, they know that. But you can make sure that you thwart the purpose and concentrate his energy to ensure that raising up of sons, that growth process is attacked. That's what the devil does. Look at Ezra chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. Ezra chapter 4. Let's read together. Now, when the adversaries, what are the adversaries? Satan and his cohorts, the carnal mind, the flesh, human enemies. When the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel. Next verse. Then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God. I want to feel alone. We are all Christians. We're all together. Let us build with you as you do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up here. Strange children. Next verse. Zerubbabel was a wise man. Don't get into any controversy. Just do them no. But Zerubbabel and Joshua. See, the Joshua was the high priest. Zerubbabel was the governor. So you have the physical leader and the spiritual leader together. And the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, you have nothing to do with us to build a house unto our God. But we ourselves together. Everybody say together. 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 It's not one but together. Together. We'll build unto the Lord God of Israel as King Cyrus, king of Persia, had commanded us. So they tried to join them. That's what Satan does. He tries to join them. Sow tares amongst the wheat. Which just will not be tares in Jesus' name. Amen. Like Pastor Lee was reading powerfully from the scripture this morning when he was saying that, I know that there are some among you. He was saying that there are some among you. So there were some among you that were wheat when Paul was there, and they became tares when Paul left. We will not be tares in Jesus' name. We will stay witty all the days of our lives. Amen. Amen. All right. Witty, witty. All right. All right. That's nice. Okay. All right. So stay witty. Amen. Tell your neighbor, stay witty. All right. That's good. All right. So this is what he was saying. So Satan tries to join, to corrupt it, to corrupt it, because you know when you corrupt it, it's weak from inside. So you can never stand. You know, it's the fifth column. So when that didn't work, and that's what Satan does. Look at Proverbs 25, verse 14. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for reminding me. Proverbs 25, 14. Whoso boasted himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. Rain is teaching. Deuteronomy 32, verse 2. My doctrine will distill as the rain. So rain is teaching. So when you see minister, yes, thank you. Go back to that scripture. When you see so-called men of God who operate a lot of the cloud and the wind anointing, you know, and power and the spectacular, and the teaching is not there at all, or it's very shallow, it tells you that this, and that's what Satan has done. He's brought it into the house of God. That's how it's going to be most effective. So the people are swept with the wind. They are carried away with the cloud. And they forget that it is the rain that will give you the former rain, which is the teaching of the principles of the foundations of the gospel, of being born again, of healing, deliverance, of baptism. No. And then when you are faithful in that, in doing it, then they take, God gives you a permit. And then you now begins to give you latter rain, which is the one that begins to ripen the fruit of the Christ life in you. That begins to tell you the what, why, and how of how to pray, of how to obey, of how to overcome this, of how to do that, of the plan of God for your life. This is how God does it. It's the rain. And if you look at the five gifts, you know, the evangelist tells you the words of the gospel. The pastor tells you the why of the gospel, giving you understanding. The teacher tells you the how. The prophet tells you all those, plus the when. And the apostle tells you everything with simplicity and instruction. How of the how? Simple but profound. So simple that you will understand it. But it takes time for God to grow that up. So when Satan comes like this, this is what he tries to do. If that doesn't work, then jump to verse 16. He now tries to malign. He casts aspersions and says, he's of the devil. How many people would do that? How many people have you heard of groaning? How many people would do that? No, why are they doing that? Are they in pain? No. Why are they the one that killed Jesus? Why does it have to be? No, I don't believe that. I don't know many people that do that. And that's error. Because you are in the outer court, and someone is talking about something in the most holy place. So you don't have light. Okay, give it to me, verse 16, quickly. No. Ezra chapter 4, verse 16. Yes, we certify the king. So they went to the king. We certify the king that if this city be builded again and the walls thereof set up, by this means shall thou have no portion on this side of the river. They wrote letters and sent it to the king and said that this is what the same thing in Esther and Mordecai in the book of Esther. They wrote letters and said they don't have any rights to do this. After Cyrus had already given the decree, of course, that is when God raises up apostles and prophets. Look at Ezra chapter 5. And that's why the apostles and prophets are key. Because they are the real teaching priests. He said, then the prophets, Haggai the prophet, and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. If you look at the previous, we're not going to turn there. Don't bother to turn there. But in verse 22 and 23, the Bible says the work had ceased. When they tried to join and they didn't allow them, they now know, you went to get a letter and let's turn there. You need to see it. 22. Next verse. Yes. Now when... No. 23. Now when the copy of King Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum and Shimshai the scribe and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews and made them to cease by force and power of the spirit of Babylon. It's power. The Bible talks about sorcery. It's sorcery. She's using magic. And one translation says magic spell that takes your focus away from God and puts your focus squarely on yourself. What have I got? How much have I got? I need more. More of me. More of me. It's man-centered. I'm the center of it. Whereas it's supposed to be God-centered. So that's what he does by force. Next verse. Verse 24. Then cease the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased unto the second year of the reign of Darius, the king of Persia. Now we now go to verse 5, verse 1. We read verse 1, then give me verse 2. Thank you. Then rose up. That's what God is saying now. Rise up. It's an awakening. Rise up. We need to rise up. Say, then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of the Lord, which is at Jerusalem. And with them were the prophets of God helping them. Amen. Look at chapter 6, verse 14. All right, chapter 6, verse 14. Quick. 6:14. Thank you. And the elders of the Jews, only the pastors are reading. The elders of the Jews builded. And they did what? They prospered through what? The prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah, son of Iddo. And they builded and according to the commandment of the God of Israel and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes the king of Persia. Brethren, God has decreed it and it is coming to pass. This temple is being built and it is about to be finished. Amen. It's about to be finished. All right. So we see that. And third reason why it's important. Look at James. No, give me 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Peter 1, 3. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1, 3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So what we want to bring out there is that no teaching priest, the knowledge he's talking about here is epignosis. Is the precise, exact knowledge that comes from deep humility. So is that humility is what brings out this kind of knowledge, so that you can see that is with that knowledge and the life of God that produces the godliness, which is now bringing the people to the glory and the virtue that God originally intended. You're going to get the glory in Jesus' name. And you're going to walk in the virtue. Amen? But you see that it's a process. It's a process. So you must receive the former rain, but you must not stop there. Being born again is not enough. You must go beyond being born again to begin to grow spiritually, to begin to become more like God. From baby to little child, from little child to young man, and from young man to go to spiritual fatherhood. But you never stop going on. You do it with your whole heart, with your whole desire. That's what it's about. How do we do it? One, you must be under covering of teaching priests whose teaching and prophesying and leadership is building you up. This is extremely important. So you must be able to recognize teaching priests. We've said this over and over, so I'm just going to hit it running. How do you know teaching priests? One, the fruit of good treasure. The fruit of deep revelation knowledge that comes from the holiest of all. That comes from the holiest of all. It comes, you know, the one that produces change in your life. Aaron's rod that budded. So when you get the revelation and you act on it, you see the change yourself in your life. So it's not that, oh, they said it's not of God. You can see the change. A man with an experience will always defeat a person with an argument because you've experienced it. Nobody can tell me that's true. I used to be like this and I've stopped. So don't tell me about that. This stuff is true. It works. It's the fruit of good treasure. That's one. Two, deep intercession day and night, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Three, signs and wonders. Talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Talking about the fruit of patience. You know, 2 Corinthians 12:12, where it talks about the signs of an apostle who are wrought among you. You know, much patience. So consistency of the message. The message does not change. It has many aspects. Because in Christ are hid all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Amen. It has many aspects. But everything is coming from in Christ. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's how. So all those things that are coming out. And then, of course, the miracles, wonders, and signs. Talking there about the change and transformation in your life. You know, and then, of course, physical miracles. You know, and all that. All right. So that's how you know them. Look at Acts 20. 32 to 35. But it's important you understand that that's why God has teaching priests. They have to teach. The Bible says the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto men. Doing what? Teaching. Titus chapter 1. The grace of when Jesus came on the scene, he was teaching. And the Bible says that they marveled at the way that taught, because he taught with authority. Not like the Jews. Because the Jews were not doing. But he that was doing had the authority. This is what you need to do. Told them the how. Gave them the instruction. This one is different. Difference is clear. Amen. Look at Acts 20, 32. Acts 20, 32. All right. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Next verse. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. These are the criteria of teaching priests. They give you the word of grace that you yourself can attest to is building me up and giving me an inheritance. I'm changing. Next one, you can attest to it that they have not coveted any man's silver or gold or apparel. Next verse. Yea, you yourselves know. It's not God in heaven now. You know. That these hands have ministered unto my necessities and them that are with me. I'm not depending on offering. Thank God you should give offering. Amen. Because for God. But if you don't give offering, my hands have worked for me. Day and night. You can see why our fathers qualify. You can see that they meet all the criteria. It's in the scripture. I mean, I didn't write this. This is already there. Verse 35. I have showed you all things. How that so laboring. You ought to what? Support the weak. Have you told us how to support the weak? Have you encouraged us to give to less privileged? The orphanage is there, isn't it? Support the weak. And to remember the words of Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. How many can attest that they give? Selflessly. Sacrificially. Sometimes at the expense of their own interests and their own children, and I know about. So they fulfill the scripture. So these are people. That's why you say they seek it, they do it, then they come and teach it. So when they are teaching it, you need to take it very seriously, because it's something they've done. So God Himself backs what they say. So all right. So of course we know we need to submit to them. 1 Thessalonians 5:12-13. 1 Thessalonians 5:12-13. This is how you, when you recognize them, you submit and esteem them very highly. And we beseech you, brethren, to do what? Know them which labor. See, labor. They labor. Labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Next verse. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourselves. Amen. All right. Next thing is obey the instruction. We know that walking in the Spirit, using the blood, the word, and the Spirit, Mark 13:35 says you do it at least 4 times a day as minimum. You must obey it. It's the law. You give your whole heart to it. You give your whole desire. It's not part, but let God be able to say that, okay, these circumstances were truly beyond your control. That's why you are not able to do it. Otherwise, you should do it. Don't give yourself any excuses. Those things have to be done. Amen. And the typology of that is that, you know, look at 1 Peter 2:5. Because, you know, the temple in the Old Testament was a place where, 1 Peter 2:5, was a place where they made sacrifices. So it says, you also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer our spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So we offer spiritual sacrifice. My house shall be a house of prayer. It's spiritual sacrifices. No, the sin offering. Father, I confess my sins. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Peace offering. In Jesus' name I have life. Amen. No. Yes, that's peace. You're looking at me. In Jesus' name I have life. It's peace offering. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. In Jesus' name I have life. Burnt offering. Praying in tongues and travail to make yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable worship. It's reasonable. It is not, you have not even done extra. It's just reasonable. It's reasonable. Prayer. So really, Father, I confess, man, it's just a matter that you are, as you do that, you are a living temple. You are a lively temple. There's sacrifices going up from your temple ever so often all through the day. Once every 6 hours, at every opportunity, in every temptation. So you are, you know, the God is always getting an aroma of fruit coming up. Ah, there she goes again. There she goes. She's praying again. There she goes again. And then the meal offering, which is Thanksgiving. Amen. Then we spend time in the Word. Daily Bible reading and meditation on the Word. It's very important. Daily Rhema is must too. It's not a good idea, brethren. It's a law. The Bible says Israel was without law. It's law. It's not a good idea. It's not suggestion. It's not highly considered advice. It's a law. It's a law. You have to do that. Now, as you grow, because some of us are growing, as you grow, you go and do the weekly Rhema too. You find time for it. There is time. You are reading newspaper. You are replying people on your phone. You are watching television. There is time. There is time. There is time. It's just a little bit here, a little bit there, and you plan for it. And you do it. Then you know, you begin to take advantage of the fact that you are under teaching priests. And begin to grow up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How can you be under a teaching priest and you're not growing? And there's no remarkable difference between you and somebody else who's not under a teaching priest. It's not like that. You should be the one reflecting the true God. You should be reflecting, we should be reflecting the true God. Amen. Do you understand what I mean? So that's where the word, it's the word that builds you up. No, it's not, you know, and there is reading, there is meditation, there is study. It's not the same. God will give you understanding. I'm just leave it there. They're not the same. All right. And then, of course, finally, we practice divine love. We practice divine love. You have to exercise yourself in divine love. In Romans chapter 13, verse 10, is the law. Everything I've told you is law. When you do these things, when they come and say, let us build with you, you yourself will say, go away. We're not building anything. When they come and malign, there will be truth. The Bible says that don't worry to answer, that the Holy Spirit will answer. But you must give the Holy Spirit something to answer with. Romans 13:10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. That's why the chief priests are, they have come so that we can fulfill the law. And as you fulfill the law, guess what? It is being written on your heart. It is being written on your mind. It may not appear, but it's being written. And as it's being written, it will out print whatever Satan had written there before. And you respond according to the law of life and love. Let us bow our heads as we pray. God wants sons to reflect him, to reflect his wisdom, reflect his humility, reflect his patience, reflect his generosity. But without teaching peace. So Satan fights teaching priests and gives priests who are clouds without rain. Well, let's repent. The key here, brethren, is I'm not told you anything new, but I've told you that God is waiting on you. You're a son. You are a son. You are a son. Arise. Don't hold anything back. Don't hold anything back. All your heart, your whole desire. God is drawing you closer to himself. From the outer court is drawing you, drawing me, drawing you. Don't resist. Come closer. There is a longing only you can feel. A raging tempest. Only you can still. My soul is thirsty, Lord, to know you as I'm known, and drink from the river that flows before your throne.
Sunrise to sunrise.
Oh, Lord.
Sunrise to sunrise.
Sing it out the prayer.
I will seek your face, drawn by the Spirit to the promise of your grace.
My heart has found,
my heart has found in you a hope that will abide here in your presence.
Let's raise up our right hand in faith, left hand on your heart. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that you sent me today, showing me that is your desire for me to come in deeper, to take on deeper into your presence. Lord God, help me to go deeper in intercession, to go deeper in reading the word, deeper in studying the word, deeper in meditating the word, deeper in walking in the spirit, deeper in fellowship with you, deeper in obedience, so that I would dwell in your presence, beholding your glory, inquiring your temple, pleasing you with my very life. In Jesus' name, Amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Jate ba katane ko abanka kako baka ne baba. Rapa katan sosekela. Rapa kaka belelebea. Renda bari debe. Mene debe soasa sewo ba. Rene debe ba. Rapa kata. Menda babaya. Renga ne baba babaka. Ron de bio. Ron de venetanto basale. Rene debea. Belelebe. Baro miela. Rabo. Baka ko bacha. Jekala babasa. Rose kaka. La Bebericaca, Coa Mario, René de Bebobo, Bacaco, Benelena, Jeffrey Kedelaman. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heard God speak expressly. That is the desire of God for every single one of us who has heard that word today. The standard has been raised. There's no excuse. Teaching priests have been sent out, in particular to this body. I have teaching priests who have been teaching for years, years. There's a lodestone, a treasure house of what to do, how to do. There's no excuse anymore. What God has just told us is you can do it and you must do it. The time has come to bring forth the fruits of all the words that have been sown in you all these years. And in me also. There's no more time. This is the time to arise and fulfill destiny. So we'll follow after the fathers who have been set before us as poplars. You don't have to look very far. Just look in front of you. Just look ahead of you. 2,000 cubits in front of you. Follow the ark. And to destiny and to glory. Deeper. Ever deeper. The Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. Let's close as we say the grace. Oh, Father, we're so grateful. Thank you so much. Your word has come forth today for this wonderful word of encouragement, of admonition, and also rebuke. Lord God, we say thank you for your mercy upon us. Thank you for, Lord, choosing to show us the way through our fathers. Thank you for, Lord God, light and understanding and wisdom that can no more be gainsaid. Thank you for speaking to us today expressly. We return to you all the glory and all the honor and praise. Thank you for your servants whom you have used today. Thank you for fresh refilling. Fill them up with the power of your spirit in the land. Lord, out of their bellies will continue to flow rivers of life, rivers of living water. So, Lord God, bring your will in your church to pass. We are so grateful. Thank you for visitation today by the power of your spirit and the ministration of the word. And so, Father in heaven, we come, Lord, under the authority of our fathers, and I come in order under the authority, with the authority of Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd and bishop of our souls in his house. We say, may the Lord bless and keep us all. Lord, make his face to shine upon us. Lord, lift up the light of his countenance upon us. The Lord our God gives us peace. God makes us head and not tail. We're above only and not beneath. So we prosper in all that we have set our hands upon to do in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, because you cause us to have an ever-increasing enlightenment of our minds and to possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death. So we shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. Yes, the Lord satisfies a long life, and you show us the fullness of your salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ in Jesus' name. And so thank you, Lord, because you also anoint us under the covering of our fathers with anointings of mans of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, amen. The grace. Receive the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit. Rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Say to your neighbors that you follow the teaching priests into the fullness of the glory of God. No more excuses. Bring forth the glory. Hallelujah. God bless you all. Have a wonderful evening. Thank you.